Turn with me again this morning to Jeremiah chapter 2. Beginning verse 22, let's hear the word of God. Though you wash yourself with lye and use much soap, yet your iniquity is marked before me, says the Lord God. How can you say, I am not polluted, I have not gone after the Baals? See your way in the valley. Know what you have done. You are a swift dromedary breaking loose in her ways. Now, Heavenly Father, I ask your blessing. We have a moment in time to look into your word. Holy Spirit, I ask you to illuminate the scriptures to us, to open our hearts and our minds to receive them. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. What is it that you know the very moment that you're born? I'm going to tell you, it ain't nothing. You don't know anything when you're born. You know, I mean, you just arrived. We don't know the difference between night and day. We don't know the difference between, you know, left and right. Sometimes that never changes. We don't know the difference between colors. We don't know what's red, what's blue, what's brown. In fact, we don't know what a color is. Never heard the word. We've been occupied for the last 9 months with other things. Most of the things that we take for granted now were unknown to us in the moment of our birth. It takes a while, actually, for us to learn what's right and what's wrong. We have a conscience that is natural to us, and maybe we'll get a little twinge or something like that, but we don't know what's right or what's wrong. We have to be taught some things. At some point, we learn that usually wrong carries with it some consequences. The consequences are usually something that we don't like. So we try to avoid the consequences. You notice, we don't always try real hard to avoid what's wrong, but we do always try to avoid the consequences, because that's never a good thing. What is our first line of defense when it's pointed out to us that we've done something wrong? No, we didn't. We just flat deny it. He said, you did such and such. No, I didn't. Did you take that last cookie? That one that I had my eye on all day long. Did you take that last cookie? Nope. Crumbs are all over your face. No, I didn't do it. The hope by the flat denial is that we will, somehow escape the consequence of our wrongdoing. That's always our first option. Now, as we get older, we get more clever in our ways of fending off consequence. We blame others, right? That wasn't me. I didn't do it. It was Hannah. Hannah, did you take that? No, it was Billy. See, we. Adam, did you do something? No, it was that woman you gave me. Well, then Eve, no, it was that snake. He tricked me. We learned to blame other people. We may even go so far as to deny that the situation exists. Did you eat that last cookie? There was never any cookie. There weren't any cookies there. I mean, I went and I looked, but there were never any cookies in that jar.
Didn't give them a chance. Got them before they got in there, right?
That never happened. That did not exist. Of course we had a free and fair election in November. The other thing we might try to do is play up our positives. Okay, we're accused of something, and that's a negative. So we play up our positives. And I'll say, you know, you really did take that last cookie, didn't you? Well, yeah, but you know what? I'm really good about cleaning my room. And you know what else? I always hang up my clothes. And I love you. You can't miss that one. See, you got to throw that one in there all the time, right? We play up our positives. We say, you know, all right, we're so good on these other things. You're not really going to hold this negative part against us, right? You're not really going to make us suffer any consequences because we know that you love me too, right? Yeah, of course. Of course. This message that God has given to Jeremiah is a tough message. The people are not loving God with all of their heart and all of their soul and all of their mind and all of their strength. They're not doing it. They are still attempting to carry on some type of relationship with the Almighty God. But what they're doing is lip service at best. They are not worshiping Almighty God with their whole hearts. They are not attentive to His laws and trying to keep His laws. They do what they do because, you know, they're Jewish people. They've always done this sort of thing, you know. And so we want to maintain the status quo sort of thing. But God, through Jeremiah, says, you guys are polluted. He tells them, you know, the stain is deep upon you. And though you wash yourself with lye and use much soap, yet your iniquity is marked before me, says the Lord God. You can wash all you want. You can make all the excuses that you want. You can play up all the good side that you want. You're still stained with sin. And you will not be cleansed the way that you think. You are polluted. Now we are only left, the scriptures only leave us to assume that there's an argument that has taken place. There's a rebuttal. A kind of a thing that says, no. Verse 23 is a response. There must have been a denial. There must have been the argument that said, we're not so bad. And so he says, how can you say I'm not polluted? I have not gone after the Baals. How can you say that? We in our modern time can sit back and almost hear the voices. We go to church. What do you mean accusing us of some sin? We go to church. Hey, every Christmas, every Easter, I'm there. I always put a dollar in the plate, man. Come on, man. You can hear the self-righteousness. I said, we go to church. In fact, let me tell you, what a church it is that we go to. Have you seen that building? It's incredible. These people are sitting there arguing and they're saying, hey, look at Solomon's temple. Look at the beauty of that building. Are we not pious people? Solomon was no slack. When he built the temple, when God gave, see, David wanted to build the temple. David wasn't allowed, but Solomon did. And if I flip back to 1 Kings chapter 6 and start in verse 14, it says, so Solomon built the temple and finished it. And he built the inside walls of the temple with cedar boards. From the floor of the temple to the ceiling, he paneled the inside with wood. And he covered the floor of the temple with planks of cypress. He had a pretty thick floor. He already put down cedar, and now he's covering the cedar with cypress. Then he built the 20-cubit room at the rear of the temple from floor to ceiling with cedar boards. He built it inside as the inner sanctuary, as the most holy place. And in front of it, the temple sanctuary was 40 cubits long. The inside of the temple was cedar, carved with ornamental buds and open flowers. All was cedar. There was no stone to be seen. And he prepared the inner sanctuary inside the temple to set the Ark of the Covenant for the Lord there. The inner sanctuary was 20 cubits long, 20 cubits wide, 20 cubits high. And he overlaid it with pure gold and overlaid the altar of cedar. So Solomon overlaid the inside of the temple with pure gold. He stretched gold chains across the front of the inner sanctuary and overlaid it with gold. The whole temple he overlaid with gold until he had finished all the temple. Also, he overlaid with gold the entire altar that was by the inner sanctuary. In today's money, it's estimated that to build Solomon's temple was going to be anywhere between $3 and $5 billion. Now, if Biden was president, that of course would be, you could double that figure, you know, because prices are going up. $3 to $6 billion. That was some kind of a show place. I mean, the best wood, the best gold. I mean, you know, not the cheap gold, the real gold, you know, the best gold. Everything's overlaid in it. I mean, you walk in there. Yeah, I can imagine the cleaning crew in there just polishing everything. So you walk in and you're almost blinded by the shine. It was an immaculate place. So these people who are being accused by Almighty God of being sinful are saying, look at us, man. We go to church and look at the church. It's a fantastic building. All to your glory, God. So they're coming back at Jeremiah and they're saying, look, we're good people. We're good folk. We haven't done anything wrong. You look us over a little bit. Take a little bit more time and consider us. And you'll find out, you know, we're not really polluted. But you see, God knows the hearts of men. He knows what we really are. He knows that anybody can walk into any church on any given Sunday and be thought of as the most holy person in town. When they're running a still out of the back of their house, you know. God knows the hearts of men. And he knew that these people were wicked. The thing is, while they're flaunting their piety, the fact of the matter is, they weren't hiding anything. They were making no attempt to hide the idolatry that they were practicing. None. How can you say that I'm not polluted, not following the Baals? How hard does your heart have to be to make such a defense, to make such a comment? They were proud Jews. They were declaring that they had a relationship with the one true God, yet they were acquiring for themselves the little statues, the little icons, setting up and about the countryside, the little shrines, because they'd been taken with the Canaanite religions. They liked a little bit of paganism. And they went with it. Not so unlike what we call the Church of Rome. Because they'll overall tell you, yeah, we serve the Almighty God and you know, we know that Jesus is the Son of God and all this stuff. However, we really need helpers. You know, if you want a blessing for a certain special kind of a thing, well, pray to this saint. That's not your cup of tea. You have another issue, pray to that saint. You know, they have patron saints for everything. I mean, they really do. I can't remember who it is right now, but I've read it, that there is a patron saint for thieves.
If you want to be a better thief, pray to this one.
Yeah. It's bizarre. But it comes back on them. And Jeremiah says to them, hey, don't be confused. Don't be confused. Don't, you know, you say you haven't gone over the gone after the Baals. See your way in the valley. He says, look what you're doing in that valley. And we say, what valley? The valley that is being referred to is the Valley of Ben Hinnom. This is where the valley where the worship of Moloch primarily was carried out. Still being carried out while this is all going on. While they're making their argument that they're such good people, they're still closing an eye to the sacrifice of children in the Valley of Hinnom. See what you're doing there. Look at that. How does one engage in the murdering of children and still contend that they're okay with God? It can't be done. This is a great passion that they held for their idolatry. This is madness. Now, God has taken a tone through Jeremiah, and in some instances, it's a distinctly sexual tone. God has referred to them as a prostitute. And many will read the scriptures and they'll say, well, God, okay, you're making your point. Why go down that road? Why bring this kind of thing up? It's important that we understand that that area of life in and of itself is not wicked. God created within men, within all living creatures, a drive that would motivate them to continue the species. He created a passion that was going to be strong. But in human beings, he also gave the ability to reason and to have self-control. If you want to slander somebody, how do you do it? There's a lot of ways, but one of the most piercing ways is to accuse them of some deviant behavior. Accuse them of being perverted in some manner. That goes to the heart of this very gift of God. And it's also one of the areas that people get so tripped up on and brings great downfalls in some. Human beings, as I said, were given the ability to reason and to be able to exercise self-control. Animals, on the other hand, they're typically not given to reason. An animal will do whatever it wants to do whenever it wants to do it. If it's hungry, it's going to go eat. We've got a lot of feral cats around our house. We've got some cats now that are fixed. So hopefully those toms go on their merry little way somewhere, looking for other pastures. I can't stand them myself. But animals don't have the same responsibilities that humans have been given. Humans are created in the image of God. And as such, to be compared to an animal is insulting. And yet the Almighty is disgusted with Israel and hands down a blatant insult for their blatant idolatry. He says, you're a swift dromedary breaking loose in her ways. What he says to them is, you're a she-camel in heat. And breaking loose in your ways, or King James says traversing, it means that you're so motivated to be satisfied that you're racing back and forth and crisscrossing yourself. You look like a Looney Tune going across the desert trying to find some means of satisfaction. This is the accusation that God is bringing against Israel. The picture is pretty vivid, but the inference is more severe. Israel has been blessed by God, abundantly so. But now we see them searching madly to find satisfaction anywhere else. They can't just go to the temple and worship Almighty God. They have to be involved in these other things. They are catering to their idolatry. And God points that out to them. We can find no greater satisfaction than what we find in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because our satisfaction is not a temporal one. It is an eternal one. God loves us, and God promises to care for us. But if we abandon those principles, if we decide we're going to go and set off on our own course of idolatry, we can't expect God to be our source of satisfaction. In fact, the writer of the Hebrews told the Jews, how are you going to escape if you neglect so great a salvation? What do you think is going to be better than what you're going to find in Christ? The answer is nothing. How simple? Well, obviously it wasn't, because, but from our vantage point, from the vantage point of being able to look in hindsight, how simple would it have been simply to confess the sin and repent. Say, God, you're right. You're right. I am polluted. I have been following the other Baals, the other idols, the other things in this life. I'm a filthy wretch. I know I got to wrap up. But how easy would it have been? And yet we find ourselves living our lives, doing our thing. How often do we find ourselves? Maybe not to this extreme, but coerced by other things that take us away from the worship of the Almighty. And we say, it's okay. It's all right. We're still pretty good people. Go to church every week. God, help us. God, keep us from getting to this point. Let us learn from Israel. Let us learn from the prophet. Ask God for the strength to carry on. Let's pray.